He has the power to take you up on your back in the man body when he gives you a contact. So now we want to see what is the master. Master is, you see, Guru Nanak was asked, who is your master? He said, Shabad is my guru, master. And my soot, my attention is his disciple. What the word Shabd means? God is a Shabd. When it came into expression, it is called Shabd. And Shabdi is the God into expression power, which is the maker of whole universe, controller of universe, of all universe, and permeating all universe. So God is wordless. When it came into being, it is called Word. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and Word was God. And all creation came into being after the Word. And what is Master? Word made flesh. God is nameless. When it came into expression, it's called Nam. And Nam is the creator of all universe. That resides in all. It resides in the very man body. We can see when we rise up to that level. He is the subtlest of the subtlest. If we rise up to that level, we'll, in our eyes will open, we'll see him. Kabir was asked, who is your master, guru? And where are you? He said, my guru is above the eye level. And I am in the body. The guru brought my attention, my soul into contact with God into expression. Now I am always with him and he is in me. Exactly the same word, given in other languages to show what they feel. So Bible says, word made flesh and dwelt amongst us. I am quoting you parallel things only to bring home that the basic teachings of all masters have been changed, whether the East or the West. In the sixth scripture it said that word just manifests in the human body in his God Guru. He says that way, he says that. Then Guru was asked, who is your Guru? He said, who was in the beginning, who is now, and will live forever, even beyond, he is my Guru. So in which he manifests, he resides in every heart, but somewhere he manifests. The manifest of God in man is the Guru. We respect the body in which that is manifested, because on account of his guidance, as he gave you some examples of the aeroplane and other things, he tells us how to rise above body consciousness, how you are there to enliven your outer faculties with which you work. And you know yourself by self-analysis, rising above body consciousness, how to rise above. And you get the demonstration of it, you see that power controlling in the universe. So who is a guru? Who is the word made flesh? The word is in him and he in the world. And who is following that path and teaches other paths the same, sit at his feet. So Master never says we are the Guru, we are. He simply says we are the messengers of God. Kabir said, I have come from the beyond, from the feet of the Master, of the God, and I have brought a message for you. He wants each children, each child to come back home. These were his words. Christ said, I came from the Father into the world. And again, I leave the world and go to my Father. Are they not parallel? Shamash Tabrez said, in his man body, the Son of God is manifest. So Bhole Shah says, He took the form of a man and came here just to awaken the world. Children, you have been separated from God years back. You are not yet been back to your true home. Come back. He sent us into the world. Someday we were in His lap. Ever since we have separated, we have been under the command of mind. And mind is under command of outward faculties, and outward faculties have driven us like anything to the outer enjoyments. We are identified with it so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. When God sees the plight of our plight like that, we are very unhappy. So He takes the manifest in the form of a body, man body, and comes to open the door. Come on, go back home. So Kabir says, with the outward eyes, Ram, God, and Kabir appear to be two bodies. Only to those who have got no world made flesh to guide. Who can take you to God? There are no brother, no sister, no parents. If he wants somebody guides back to God, it means he is in there. You see? So for that reason, you see, Master always come to guide us. This is, now remains what is function as you say. Somebody asked you yesterday, what is the function of a master? Namdev said that God has manifested in the body. Well, that very body is God. Painandlal, a great devotee of the 10th Guru, he annotates on a poem of Hafiz. Hafiz says, if you want to meet God, leave all house and home and the world and go to a wilderness. And Nandlal says, well, look here, here is the God standing before you. Will you find this Guru? Why to go to the world if he's not here? He's here in everybody. Where his manifest, go to his feet. So God is great, you see. Maulana Rum says, he says, I am so great that all my creation, all my universes that I've created, they are not sufficient to contain me. I alone. He says, but strange enough, I manifest the heart of a master. You want me, come out there. These are all things which go to show great is man. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is within me. The Father is within me and I am within the Father. Quite so. How clear words he is. So my purpose is to lay before you that who is a master? What is their function? They come to make people see who do not see, and those who see to make them blind. When our attention is down from outside, all is down. It is our attention that sees all these things. When you put your whole attention within you, which is dark, that light source. So Guru is the Shabda, is the word made flesh, and is a link between man and God, and this link of Shabda, light within you. Who can do that, he is Godable, he is called a master. If people do not understand what the scriptures say about a master, just as without a pilot you cannot fly the aeroplane clear, 35,000 feet high. Without a guru, you cannot fly beyond the physical body. He gives a demonstration of that. So, what is the function of a master? Just to make you rise above body consciousness, give you contact with the light and sound principle of God. Nada, the voice of God, the music of the sphere. Where it could lead you. Light in light you will see where you are. And sound principle will be guiding you where to go. So Guru Nanak says, Though you got the perfect master, they are giving the contour with the sound principle, which is the guiding principle. Let it go. You have a sound, you hear some sound, and you naturally be drawn to the place from where that sound is coming. So this is direct way back to God. In this yoga, this is the natural yoga, the yoga of the sound current. In this, no hypothesis required to be made. Direct way back to God. Because it gives you contact with the light and sound principle which emanates from the absolute God, what let's say. In all of the yoga, you have some hypothesis to make or draw inference. So as such, like persons, you know, call them by the name person. One made flesh is born the same way as we are born. He got the only two eyes that we have got outside. Two limbs, he walks like us. But he is the bread of life that comes down from heaven, as Christ said. Akhand Pujyanti, Pujyantira, they also said, it is bread of life that has come down from heaven, whosoever partaketh of it shall have everlasting life. They give you the bread of life, the water of life, which is light and sound principle of the God into special power. You have physical food to make your body strong. You got learning, etc., to give you strength to the intellect. What food you give to your soul, which is conscious entity. So Master comes here to give that water of life, that bread of life. But when you get it, when you rise above body consciousness, until you rise above body consciousness, you remain a stranger to the beyond. If Master gives you experience and demonstration of how to rise above body consciousness, then you have no fear of death. Because all glory and beauty lies within you. When you witness once that aspect of higher life, you are so much attached to it, you won't like to stay outside. So, it is always advised in the scriptures what? To do the practices as given by a master. Those who are doing practices without a master, only doing at the level of senses, as in with the outgoing faculties or with the intellect, they don't give you any access into the beyond. They are good actions, of course, because you are doer, as you sow, so shall you reap. But they cannot give you glimpse of the beyond. So they, what you do, if you have this, I mean, you follow the, sit at the feet of Master, he gives you how to rise above body consciousness, then you have got seen that thing, you see. And you know how to go up. So the function of the Master Shabda is a link between man and God. And link of Shabda given. And what is Shabda? Light and sound, two aspects of it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light on my path. So even such a master, when you meet such a master, you see, even after leaving his body, the perfect master continues to watch over the disciples. His word made flesh and never leaves you till the end of the world. This is all world master said. Christ said, I shall never leave thee nor forsake thee till the end of the world. Is it not? So all master said, Christ said, they work while alive and give light to the world. He said, I must work the works of him who has sent me while it is day. Means he is alive. The night comes when no man can work. When day passes, night comes, when this man is no more alive in the body, then he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Very clear words. So this is a function. You see, what do they do? They do what? They give you contact with God. They are the link between man and God. They open your inner eyes, see the light of God. They open your inner ear to hear the voice of God. They tell you how to rise above body question, how you fly your plane into the air. There's a plane rising into the air outside, and there's a plane, your inner self, into the beyond, to the astral plane, to the causal plane, even beyond, until you reach the true home of the Father. So, the work continues, one bulb is fused and the other is put on. That power never dies. Christ lived before Abraham. Jesus lived before Abraham. I am that I am. You follow the point? Though that power never dies, continues on working at different human poles at different times to guide the child humanity. This is also what six scriptures say. He says that sound principle is my guru. In that sound principle is all nectar of bliss. What the scriptures say, read it, what they say, unless you meet a living master, you can't go beyond. Very clear, God? And that power never leaves you, you see. Always with you, watching you, extending all physical help and protection. And such a gift given by a master, you see, that can never be set aside. No power on earth can take it away. And no one else can give you such a gift. He gives God as a gift to you. Guru Prasad. He makes you come in contact with God. Christ said, I gave unto thee eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Is there any power that once a master takes anybody under his care and he shall be taken away by someone? No. The disciple may leave, but the master never leaves. Heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall never pass. This is what Christ said. This also you got in our scriptures, Sad Bhajan Atala. I am giving you only the parallel view to show that the teaching of the East and West makes no difference whatsoever. So, for that reason, you see, what you find, you would like somebody who knows the way. Nobody has any power to pluck him away from his hand. Similarly, in the East also, Swamiji says, one seed is sown by a master in whom favor, no other power on earth or heaven who can take that away. And such a gift can be made by only a master. There is no man wise with that master. He comes what for? To take you home, liberate you from the prison house of the body, and take you home back. This is what. So blessed are they that have the word of God and keep it. That's what Christ says. He that heareth my voice have ever lost in life, and has passed from death to life. Such masters are here, but they are always present in the world. In every age they come to give the pot to the people. There's food for the hungry, water for the thirsty. Demand and supply is the law of nature. The child which was born 5,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 500 years ago, has now been born. Don't you know that nature provides milk for the child and the mother before birth? Do you think this law will change in the future? Laws of nature never change. So this goes on, you see. The Guru Mukh, who has developed in him the secret power of Naam, or word, and attained the degree of at least a Sadguru, from him the torch of Naam is carried forward by disciples from generation unto generation to enlighten the future. While one bulb is used, the other is put on. So, such a master is needed. Guru Nanak says, sit at the feet of somebody, when you go beyond and Lord of Judgment is there to take your account, he stands for you. You are not to account for it. So that is why they say, leave the friendship of such people who never go along with you. Not in the world also, you see. Many people are with us only so long as their purpose is served. When they have got no purpose left, they go away. They may be very dutiful children. They may help you to the last. But when you are dying, they cannot help you. So you need somebody who can help you at the time of death. And who are they? They are masters who give you demonstration of dying while alive, the very first day, for a while. You call it regularly, accurate every day, you rise above body conscious daily. St. Paul said, I die daily. When you leave the body at home, Guru Nanak says 100 times a day, where is the fear of death? Kabir says, people are afraid if they take the name of death. But I am more joyful when I hear the name of death. So we are afraid of death for two reasons. One reason is, we do not know how to die. What is death? It is no bugbear, it is leaving the body. All have to leave the body, in the saints, mass, everybody who took the body, they left the body. And we will also have to leave the body. Then how to conquer death? The only, you must know how to die, how to leave the body as well. All glory and beauty lies within you. So we need somebody who can give us a demonstration of how to rise above body consciousness. The yogis have taken hundreds of years to do so. And he guides you up when you go across. They are also there to help you. He won't leave you till the end of the world. Christ also said the same thing. I shall never leave, not forsake thee till the end of the world. So for that reason, you see, he says to sit, pray. God, O God, meet a such a man, such a person, who can take us out of the prison of box of the body in lifetime. Who accompanies us here and there also. Those who are afraid of death, what should they do? Master says, let them sit at the feet of the Master. To them, if they are accurate, they keep oneness of the Master, they feel joy at the time of death. So what is the result? He will just meet you, receive you at the door of death. You're not to go all around. That's a great completion. So Master therefore says, take hold of the hem of a such a master who knows this and the other world both, who can work in both worlds, here and there too, who may be with you when you are in this world, extending all feasible help and protection. When you leave the world into the beyond, they also accompany there. When you leave this world, don't you like such a friend? We do need. So what happens, you see? We are now drenched in the poison of the outgoing faculties. We are identified with it. This poison comes through the impressions we receive from the outgoing faculty from outside. So his first work is to take you up out of this abyss of poison of the outgoing faculty. You follow what I mean? Our souls are under the command of mind. Mind is under the control of outgoing faculties, and outgoing faculties are attracted like anything by the outward enjoyments. So my soul is forgotten yourself. We cannot differentiate ourselves. So Master gives a demonstration how to come up out of the body, Bhakti member, and open the inner eye to see the light of God, that He is the maker of all. His ego is lost. When he says some higher power is working, I am not working, then Lord of Judgment only takes account of those people who are working at the level of ego. You are the doer. You sow, as you sow, so shall you reap. If you rise above this, the law of evolution and devolution, come know that power that is working behind all this, then you save all coming and going. So what happens?
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. This morning our reader is Christine Clevenger. Are you there, Christine?
Yes, John, I'm here.
Okay, carry on.
Good morning to everyone. I'm going to finish reading Master's talk. It is called Guru Bhakti. And then I'll begin a new reading. We can only consider ourselves safe when we have reached a state above birth and death. It is written that Mulvey Room, the clergyman, did not become Malona Room, our master, until he became the slave of Shamas Tabriz. Similarly, Raja Janak's name is remembered down through history because he found Ashtra Vakra. Until Arjuna met Lord Krishna, his life was not so illustrious. The same observation can be made for the life of Swami Vivekananda, who blossomed under the guidance of his guru, Ramakrishna. Brothers, life comes from life. It is very clear. The life of a disciple is his guru. If he is in tune to his guru from within, he becomes his mouthpiece. Then only can he call himself a disciple. Otherwise not. Up to now, excuse me, we are but disciples of the mind. Once after giving initiation in Lahore, Baba Sawan Singh Ji said to me, "Brother, I have planted the saplings, but you have to water them." I replied, "Hazur, what is a pipe?" "Whatever water you send through this pipe, I will give. If there is no water in the water pipes, they become hot, do they not?" He who becomes the mouthpiece of the guru can be called a disciple. How can we call ourselves disciples as yet? When one becomes a disciple, he will never hide his guru's name. Remember this. He who conceals his guru is a bad man. Those who intentionally cover up the name of the guru are bad people. Tell me, if one declares that one is the disciple of the Guru, then does one's good reputation increase or decrease? Without a king, there is no respect. Without a guru, there is no salvation. So the real disciple continually exalts the name of his guru, and furthermore, never encourages any attention toward his own name. You will see that all true gurus sing only the praises of their gurus and do not consider the guru as a man, but as God in man. Many people encourage praise to their own name and push the name of their guru aside. Guru Nanak Sahib said, I have seen the greatness of my guru, and there is no other place. Guru is God on a human pole. A drunkard would choose to sit beside a drunkard, would he not? These manifested God in men, some come into the world in perfection, and some are made here. And even those who are perfect when they come, whose company do they seek? Those who are drunk with the same intoxication. Just consider how much love Guru Arjan Sahib, Chachu Bhagat, and Hazrat Mian Mir, from entirely different castes and religious backgrounds, had for each other. Also, why did Guru Arjan collect the words of many different masters? There was a deep meaning behind it. Man has made separate, narrow, watertight compartments with the attitude of only my belief is good, others are wrong. But the realized souls say, go and go everywhere. Our Hazur used to say, I have got this thing and I am giving it to you. Now go wherever you wish, and if you find anything greater than that which I have given you, then take me there also. We are worshippers of the truth, but those who go into, well, what words can I use to describe it? They say, this is my belief, and this is my belief. Brothers, those who really have something to give will get together. Only takers fight among themselves. How can a giver have any animosity? Guru Arjan prepared this banquet hall of spirituality, the Granth Sahib, and I would say that it established a world fellowship of religions by collecting the words of the masters in one book, regardless of which religion each master was born into. Those who believe in the words of the gurus, which are found in the scriptures, should have respect for all masters. If they do not, they have obviously not become disciples. It is very simple and clear. Abandon all possessions which were not mine when the company of the master came. Now there is neither enemy nor stranger, for all have become the same to me. Amir Khusro was strongly criticized for following his guru, his critics protesting that a Muslim should not worship a living man as God. Khusro, in return, retorted that they were his actions. What did they have to do with anyone else? He also pointed out that only he knew just what benefit he was receiving. Only a disciple will know what the guru gives him. Of such things the worldly people have no awareness. Whenever the masters come, they teach in a practical way, and those who do not realize just what they can give are unhappy. Who are the critics? Those without knowledge. Who is steeped in true devotion? Only those who are drenched in the Lord's color. There is the drop. There is the wave. There is the ocean. If the drop, which has become polluted by matter, gets contact with the wave, it can become fresh again, because that wave is of the ocean. It is a subject of self-analysis, and as long as our soul does not get free from mind and the senses, it cannot even understand what kind of intoxication its own nature is. It is true that glimpses can be seen, but the intoxication can be experienced only through an actual connection. This kind of upliftment can be had only in the company of those who have experienced the intoxication and have achieved the full realization. Without meeting such a personality, nothing can be achieved, no matter if one spends one's whole life in trying, or even millions of lives. Yes, such things are mentioned in the scriptures, but can be experienced only through the Master. The Masters come to teach us how to love, and that love is the same, but we have connected it to the world, whereas the Master will connect it to the Lord. We may win or lose in this world, but we are still here, so why not gamble with the Lord? If we lose, we will become His. If we win, He becomes ours. Kabir Sahib has said on this subject, "Mind, body, mind, and wealth I have staked." He says that he has staked all three, and brothers, you gamble, and we also, but there is a difference. Where have you staked your all, and where have we? What do you win in return, and what do we? Everyone is gambling with the world, with children, money, property, and go on fighting and killing for it. We have also staked body, mind, and wealth, but what happens? I play chopar with my beloved, staking my body and mind. This is the difference. One is a gamble with God, and the other is with the world. It is a play of chopar. All the world is like that. As in that game, there are four sections. Some are born through the earth, some through moisture, some through eggs, and some through the womb. And the chopar game goes on. But Kabir Sahib says, we have connected our love to the Lord. He also says, if I lose, I become the beloved's. If I win, the beloved becomes mine. Similarly, when gambling with the world, winning or losing, you will still be in the world. And this is the great difference. Have wisdom. With Upasana, we can have that experience. For life comes from life, and light comes from light. Whatever company one keeps, one's life will reflect that influence. That which can be received by a few minutes' receptivity in the Guru's company cannot be had from even 100 years in some other sincere devotion. The Master's company can give that which is described in the Holy Scriptures. After all, the Guru is something, brothers. True Gurus are not sadhus that are seen with the naked eye. There are hundreds and thousands of sadhus in India, but there might be 5 or 10 who have reached a certain stage, for the world is not without such people. But they are rare. They were rare in the past, and they are still rare. So what then is the criterion? The Master entrusted me with some capital. Through this, all illusion of the mind was removed. The greatest criterion of all is that the connection with the light should be given and our attention withdrawn from outer things. Even if he gives a little glimpse of the light, that can be increased. Help is forthcoming. The more you turn your face toward him, the more help you will receive, just like a tree that is fed scientifically so the fruit will come earlier. As Christ said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches." Those branches that remain embedded in that vine, which is the Guru, will bear forth fruit. Those who break away will be barren. Remember, a guru has to be a guru, and a disciple has to be a disciple. Only then can guru bhakti be achieved. Such a guru is very rare, and so is such a disciple. The more you keep his company, the more you obey his commands, the quicker you will reach there. Decide for yourself in this very life. Know you have got a guru only when attachment to the physical has gone. If you have learned how to leave your body, then you can know that you have met your guru, and such a disciple will not return to this world. He may come back after succeeding in the higher stages, after reaching the ultimate good. Then he will be sent as a doctor, not as a prisoner. The next talk I'm going to read from is called Gurmukh and Manmukh. This talk was given in Hindi at Salwan Ashram. The Vedas and scriptures of all the religions have glorified the spiritually great who came into the world from time to time. Some have even gone to the extent of exalting the position of Guru above that of God. This is just a way of expression, for who can be above God? The term Guru is not something new. It is as old as the creation itself. Whenever practical teachers of pravidya, or knowledge of the beyond, come into the world, they give correct understanding and right lead to the people. After the departure of such teachers, deterioration sets in. Guru Nanak was once questioned as to who his guru was. He replied, "Shabd is the true guru, and Surat is the disciple," meaning that the sound current was his teacher, and his attention was the disciple. What is this sound current? God is wordless and nameless. He is absolute in himself. When that absolute God comes into expression, he becomes God into expression power. This power is described as Shabd or Nam. The power of God in its fullness is called Shabd or sound current. Christ called it the Word. Similar questions were put to Kabir as well. Where does your guru dwell, and where does the disciple? How are the two related together? He simply said, "My God dwells in the Gagan, or sky, within me, and the disciple too resides therein." When Surat, or attention, gets united with Shabd, there can be no separation thereafter. What does it mean? When we say that Guru resides in the Gagan, it means that he is the indweller of the body and not the body itself. This human frame, then, is a wonderful house in which we, the God power and the spirit in man, live. He who has created such a wonderful house must be a master architect. Let us for a moment examine this house. It has a number of outlets, eyes, ears, nostrils, mouth, and the two openings below. Despite all these outlets, we cannot run away from this house. Everything is going on with a certain rhythm and order. The exhaled breath cannot remain out for long. There is some power which pushes it back, and we are alive with the breath of life going in and out. The beauty of this house remains so long as that power is in it. Man is man so long as the Father is in man. It is said, the body lives so long as the God power is in it. The moment the God power departs, the body becomes a heap of dust. We are in the body, but not the body itself, and yet we are not free to escape. There is something that is keeping us a prisoner and is controlling this relationship. When that something departs, we have to leave. It is this power which is controlling and sustaining the various planes and subplanes in the creation. All these innumerable regions are moving rhythmically without colliding with each other. When this power withdraws, there follows dissolution and grand dissolution. As said before, this power, in the terminology of saints, is called God into expression or God into action power. It is this very power that is called Nam or Shakti. O Nanak, the entire creation is the result of Nam. One can contact it only when he wills. Again, they alone come to it who have the Father's name writ in their foreheads. The universe comes into being through the Word and dissolves by its withdrawal. And it is through the Word that it again comes into being. We have now to find ways and means of contacting this power within us. It can be contacted only at the place where the soul currents withdraw at the time of death. We have to locate the seat of the soul in the body. You might have seen a dying person. The death process begins with the lower chakras. When the lower chakras give way because of withdrawal of the soul currents therefrom. Beginning from below, this process continues on and on until the throat center gets involved. It is then that the eyeballs turn upwards. This happens when these currents get collected at the eye focus. It is from here that the soul sitting in the body keeps the body in control. This then is the Gagan, and here lives that God power, together with the soul. And when the soul and the God power become one, they live eternally. This is called the union of the disciple and the master. Speaking of the Guru power, Guru Gobind Singh tells us, from end to end, the God power remains with us. Consider that God power as our Guru. It is this God power within us which is the connecting link between the material body and the immaterial soul, quite disparate in essence. This power is all-pervading and immanent in each one of us. My Lord is enthroned in all, and there is not a place where He is not. Blessed indeed is the human pole from where it shines in full effulgence. We all live by this God power, but we are unaware of it. The God power is manifest in the Guru. We adore the human pole from where this power works. Who then can contact us with this God power? God power is complete in itself, and has no relationship in the earthly sense of the word. Who then can do this job? None but this manifested God in man. It is the lighted human pole that can contact us with the light of God. A guru never claims any perfection for himself. He always says that the contact is given by the God power and not by him. He lives in his will and has no will of his own. Let thy will be done, and not what I will. Again, Kabir, speaking of himself, says, Kabir is just a dog of his master, and is known Mushya. He moves about wheresoever he is led by the nose string. Those who consciously dwell in God become, in course of time, conscious co-workers of the divine plan, and such personages are known as disciplined souls and saints. Thus we see that the Word is the God power in the Guru, the Word made flesh, for man alone can be the teacher of man. He dwells amongst us to instruct and guide us. This is what the Gurbani says. God himself in the Guru doles out the gift of Shabd. Guru then is the human pole on which the God power manifests and carries on the work of redemption. He lives among the people, but his soul dwells in him. In the world, he acts as the mouthpiece of God. Nanak, explaining to his friend Lalo, said, I only express that which comes within me from above. While living on the earth, his spirit dwelleth in heaven, said a Muslim saint. Outwardly, we see him busy in the work of the world as any one of us is. For his livelihood, he may be working in the field or carrying on some business or be engaged in service. He too, like us, may lead a family life. But he can rise above the body and bodily relations the moment he may so like. In the human frame, he is nothing but a manifested God in man, or a veritable man living in God. On the other hand, we are a slave of the mind and senses and are entrapped in the maze of the world, so much so that we are identified with them and have forgotten our real nature, the soul behind the mind and sense, giving life and light to all that is. It is the flow of our attention outside that is sustaining the world around for us. Sometimes it so happens that by seeing we do not perceive, and by hearing we do not understand. What is the reason for this absent-mindedness? It is because our attention is somewhere else, and we are not our own at that moment. It is just like removing the belt from the flywheel of a machine, and the entire work comes to a standstill. The various departments in our body carry on their functions in the light and life of the spirit. It is the spirit that gives strength and power to the mind and the various sense organs connected therewith. It is the spirit that has to be controlled and manipulated and made the director of the body and the bodily functions. We must strengthen our spiritual power and be able to use it at our will rather than allow it to flow along with the mind. With the spiritual power well developed, one can do what he likes as a master of the house in which one lives. One who can do this is a sadhu, a saint, or a mahatma. Bhai Gurdas says, he who has disciplined his outgoing faculties is called a sadh, or disciplined soul. Kabir tells us, one who is lost in the nine portals of the body cannot get to the reality. A person who has acquired this gift becomes the mouthpiece of God. Of him it is said, his words are the words of God, though seemingly coming out of a human being. Speaking of himself, Nanak says, the humble Nanak opens his mouth when he is bidden to do so. This is what is called right understanding, and each one of us has the capacity to understand things rightly, provided one has his attention under control. The attention of the worldly wise is flowing out into the world. If one could, by self-analysis, separate his attention from the mind, he can become the knower of himself and the knower of God. Hence the aphorism, know thyself. O Nanak, without self-analysis, one cannot get out of the grand illusion. He who knows the self, or the human in him, knows everything. In his company, others too can become the mouthpiece of God, as he himself is. He does not inject anything from without. He makes us understand what is what. He alone is our friend, by whose instructions we are reformed and transformed. A friend like him tells us in detail of the great wonders that lie in the wonderful house in which we live. Human body is the temple of God, and God verily dwells in it. All the scriptures sing highly of it. It is called Brahm Puri because Brahman can be made manifest in it. It is a place with 9 portals and 6 ganglionic centers, and is described as Ayodhya, or the kingdom of Lord Rama. All the gods and goddesses reside in it. Hence it is called Nar Narayani Day, or the abode of man and God. Even the celestial beings aspire for the human form, because it is in this Deha form that they can hope to attain salvation. In brief, man is next to God. He may be said to be even a micro-god. I will stop reading at that point and close with a short prayer from Guru Arjan from the book Prayer. O Lord, take us under the shadow of thy protecting wings. We are unable to do anything on our own. Graciously give us thy name. O my divine friend, grant that I may every day make an effort to think only of thee all the time. O give me a contact with Shabd, the bread of life. The company of saints dyes us with his name, and all our desires are fulfilled. Nanak prays for thy mercy and thy grace, and that we may remain absorbed in the sweet memory of thy lotus feet. Thank you, Master.
A wonderful reading. Excuse me a minute, I'll do a count. So today there were 70 people at the satsang. Thank you everybody for attending, and thank you Master for providing this for us. Now please hang up your phone.